Well, we're going to steer things back to Nairobi, where I am now. I've got Gina Moore from BuzzFeed back with me today. She's our international women's rights correspondent, as you know, and has been helping out this week with the Across Women's Lives coverage. And Gina, your story is based here in Nairobi, but when we talk about sexism in the media, which is what the story is about, I suspect this is a problem all over the country, just more pronounced here in Nairobi because there's more media here.
Well, the media is definitely concentrated here, so that's where you really see it, where it's really amplified. And the content probably resonates with people across the country, the kinds of things media personalities say and write about women. But you also find out that sexism in the media is so deeply embedded, even in stories that have nothing to do with what people think of women. Recently, Nanjala Nyabolo poured hundreds of hours into planning a week-long cultural program in Nairobi. It was huge, and it was successful. And Nyabolo was excited that Kenya's biggest and best newspaper, The Daily Nation, was publishing an article about it.
And I opened the article, and I'm referred to as Mr. Nanjala, like, consistently.
Mr. Nanjala makes absolutely no sense.
It's definitively a girl's name. It is like saying Mr. Julie or Mr. Barbara.
When she asked what happened, the reporter apologized.
I'm really sorry. A copy editor changed all the misses to misters.
Someone single-handedly changed Nyabola's gender, which seems like a pretty striking example of sexism in the media. But in Kenya, there are even more outrageous examples, hundreds of them. Newspapers often run articles asking what women who've been raped were wearing or why they stayed out late. Columnists criticize women's independence from men, and then they criticize women who need men. And radio hosts juggle hours and hours of calls each week on the topic of just how awful women actually are.
Wow, hello, Classic 105.
Hello, right now.
Hello, good morning.
Here's one example from Kenya's most popular morning talk show, hosted by a guy called Maina.
You know, for one thing, we have domesticated human pets.
The caller is saying that there are two types of women, domesticated human pets, like a dog, and domesticated human pests, like a roach. This kind of thing isn't that unusual.
My favorite one. Oh, this is my favorite one. The difference between the Kenyan wife and the ideal wife.
That's Nanjala Nyabola again. She works as a writer and a political analyst, and she's talking about one of the best read articles in the country from last year's Daily Nation. It said that Kenyan men want their wives to cook their meals and wash their laundry and draw their baths every night, even if the wife works. And even if the family has a maid, which a lot of families here do. But an ideal wife should follow all the old traditions, right down to letting your husband eat first. Which basically means,
Kenyan women who work, shame on you for coming home and wanting the same leisure time as your husband. Shame on you for wanting to eat while your husband is eating.
Kenyan men loved reading this.
Then you read the comments, and everybody's saying, great. Wonderful. This is what our women need to hear.
Kenyan women hated this. They threatened to stop buying the paper. They even showed up at the offices of the article's editor. His name is Dennis Galava, and this is how he saw it.
People are uncomfortable with this hard truth being said.
Galava points out that the paper runs positive stories about female leaders, and he says he likes running lifestyle articles that make women feel good about themselves.
But don't make them zombies. Make them also be awake to the realities around them.
I don't think any Kenyan woman is unaware of her reality.
This is Ori Okolo, who's better known by her Twitter name, Kenya Pundit. She's been an influential voice in Kenya since she co-founded Ushahidi, a software program that helped expose violence during the country's 2007 presidential election.
Frankly, it's not even about reminding us of the reality. It's giving us instructions. You know, should women do this or should women do that if you don't want to hook a man, do this?
Women like Okolo and hundreds of others argue back, especially on social media. But engaging your critics doesn't come without risks. And eventually, those risks have costs.
Then you do find a lot of women that's starting to shy away from public positions, whether in politics, anything that requires them to, quote-unquote, have a thick skin.
But if sexism is fair game, are there any limits? Has anything ever gone too far? Once, Galava, the Daily Nation editor, said, only once.
That was the only time when I've seen the corporate side of Nation being shaken by an article.
It was an article from 2 years ago, and it was the first column published in a special section called I Am Woman. The name of the article? Why I Want to Be Raped.
Yeah, everybody saying, stop it.
So he did. The special section was suspended. Next to an article like that, the daily diet of casual sexism stopped seeming outrageous, at least to male editors. But women like Okolo know that it affects young women here and how they imagine their lives, what opportunities they might have, what they're allowed to dream about, who they're allowed to be.
Because I have three daughters, and if they didn't have any other influence other than the newspapers, from a media consumption point of view, I worry.
Wow. Marco Werman here in Nairobi. Gina, I got to say, I'm kind of speechless hearing that. So when you look at the gender landscape in Kenyan media, are there many women? I mean, who's fighting back inside the industry?
So there aren't a lot of women editors at newspapers and outlets in Kenya. And the women who write for the papers tend to write these very sort of misogynist things and get famous for it. But outside the formal media, lots of people use Twitter. KOT, Kenyans on Twitter, use Twitter, use Instagram, use everything at their disposal to kind of fight back against this.
Some hope for change there. Gina Moore, who's based here in Nairobi on the International Women's Rights Beat with BuzzFeed. Thanks so much, and we'll see you back here with more Owning It later this week.